Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. We're expecting Nate Taylor to join us in studio here coming up in just a little bit. I'll keep you guys company until Nate gets here. So this is kind of where I'm at with the Chiefs. This is my 1,000-foot view kind of outlook on the Chiefs. I know that we spin it like losing in the early portion of the regular season doesn't mean anything. But I want you to start looking at those games as dipping into your emergency fund. You basically get 6, maybe 7 get-out-of-jail-free cards at the very beginning of the season. We all know in the National Football League, you don't have to go undefeated in order to make the playoffs. You don't have to just lose one game and now you're sweating it out the rest of the way. It's not really what happens. So at the very beginning of the season, they give you these 6 chips. You get these 6 pendant of life, to quote Legends of the Hidden Temple. And as you lose, you have to hand one of those back. The Chiefs have dipped into their emergency fund. They've dipped into their bag completely. And now the Chiefs go into the final month of the season with no emergency fund, no margin for error, no more room. Very simply put, if the Chiefs lose at any point between now and the end of the season, that ends their season. So it doesn't matter if it happens next week. Doesn't matter if it happens in the first week of January. It doesn't matter. The Chiefs have now entered a new form of the playoffs, and every week is a single elimination game that will determine if they are in it or not. Now, I'm not here to tell you, hey, give up on the Chiefs, don't believe in them. You're allowed to believe, not believe, wherever you are. But I would just ask this very simple question as Nate Taylor walks in here. Not based on what they've done in the past. I'm talking about evaluating the 2025 Chiefs. What have the 6-6 Chiefs done to make you think that now they're about to go 5-0 in their next 5 games? What have they done? Has this team played a consistent brand of football where you think that against Denver, against Houston, against the Chargers, you think that they're winning all of those games? Well, they're at home. Yeah, that counts. But I'm just going to guess. I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess that all 3 of those games are going to be close in the fourth quarter. The Chiefs have not done anything to make me think that they are winning three consecutive close fourth quarter kind of ball games. That's just not the kind of team that they've been so far this season. So I have made excuses for the Chiefs. You have made excuses for the Chiefs. We kept moving the goalposts. Hey, this game against the Broncos, man, they never lose this game against the Broncos. I mean, they always lose to Buffalo. I mean, but this time they'll win this game. Thanksgiving. This was a massive swing. You win this game, you're 7-5, you're coming back home, and you now got a little bit of margin for error. You still got a loss you can play with in your back pocket. The Chiefs keep waiting and keep putting off their assignment. Man, at some point, you can't get an A on the project anymore. You just haven't given yourself enough time to get an A. Not when everybody else started working on it in September, and now you're just going to start working on it in December and think you're getting the same grade as everybody else. That's just not how this thing works. Let's look to my right now. I'll be joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN, joining us in studio to help you guys on your ride home or while you're riding around out here Christmas shopping with the lady. How is Post Malone in person, man?
Awful. What a great question. Dog, I was not entertained. He lacked energy in a way that I don't know if it came across on television, but
no, it did.
This ain't it. This was he faded before he stepped out? Like, I just nah. They gave him more time than usual too, because it's a standalone game, because it's Thanksgiving, you get 20 minutes of halftime, not the usual 12 to 13 minutes. Nah, Carrington. Nah. Whatever they had in Detroit was much better than what they had in Dallas. So, great first question, because nah, that was not it.
Okay, so I guess let's start here. I'm off. Officially, I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have made excuses for the Chiefs' poor behavior for most of the season.
Uh-huh.
And I've just constantly moved the goalposts back.
Yep.
Heading into Buffalo. Hey, this is a really important game. Oh, I mean, they always lose to Buffalo in the regular season. Then it was a very important game in the AFC West that they had to get, that they always get. They lost that game. Heading into this game, Thanksgiving. Hey, if you win this game, you're 7-5 and you can breathe a little bit. I've made a lot of excuses for the Chiefs so far this season. At some point, you just got to come to grips with what they are. And since they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, the Chiefs have morphed into an average football team that no one is afraid of.
With a quarterback still playing at an extremely high level. I can't disagree with anything you said. I listened to you guys on my drive down from the airport. I agree. This is the first time I've covered the Chiefs. This is what, year 8? Which is alongside the 8 years that Mahomes has been the starter, where we haven't even hit December yet. And I think quietly it was an acknowledgement from a lot of guys yesterday that said, to your point, yeah, this might be it. Like, I respectfully think the season's over. I respectfully looked a lot of those guys in the eye yesterday in the locker room and asked them about penalties and about mistakes and about a lack of focus. I mean, these are the same questions I've been asking, to your point, for 3 months now. Where do you go from 6-6? How are you going to respond? Why do penalties continue to, sap your guys' ability to be consistent on offense? You know, what in the world happened today with the pass rush? You know, I asked George Karloftis, like, do you know how many, like, I almost asked him, like, do you know how many times you guys were successful on first and second down to only give up a conversion on third down? So, no, the season is just about over. They are not mathematically eliminated, but to your point earlier, I can't trust them to win 5 straight games. And one of the reasons why I think the season is over, too, is because what we saw yesterday with Josh Simmons, with his fractured wrist, who knows if you're getting Trey Smith back next week against the Texans. Who knows what's going to happen with Juwan Taylor, who is entering, and you've acknowledged this, and I have too, basically a contract season. Like, he's probably not going to come back next year. What do you do with Brian Cook, who has a high ankle sprain? Is he going to be available next week? Well, the moment he left the game, I don't know how many people recognize this, but the entire secondary stunk it up once he was removed from the game for the injury. So, yeah, I don't see how this team can recover when they really did try to, you know, push themselves with 2 games in 5 days, and they made the same mistakes they've made throughout a lot of these one-score games.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. This was the analogy that I made.
Mm-hmm.
You know the saying, you are what you eat. And we all know somebody who is super health conscious. They eat incredible. You look at their body like, man, like,
how do you do that?
Well, you ate it because of diet.
Right.
And then we also know
because of regiment, because of discipline.
100%. And we know somebody, we know people that are on the other side. Man, I'm always sluggish. Well, you're always sluggish because you constantly eat sweets all day. Look at the Chiefs' diet. So if you're wondering, man, how did we get here? Hey, how did one day I look in the mirror and I gained 60 pounds?
Right.
Well, look, I'm going to show you based on what you've been eating, how you got here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the team that is built off not getting pressure on the other team's quarterback. This is a team that is built on special teams, penalties, and mistakes.
Yep.
This is a team that is built off not getting off the field on third down and also not being a team that can close in the final 5 minutes of the game. That's not a playoff team.
I can't disagree, man. Like, it's just, it's wild that, like, the talent level is still there. But as I've said before, coaching has suffered this year. Collective individual players' concentration has suffered. I think I wrote this yesterday, and it kind of jumped out to me. Now, I know everybody will remember the stat that this is the first time in the Mahomes era that he's thrown 4 touchdown passes, no interceptions, and they lost. So anytime your quarterback played above average, you always won that game. Well, the coaching is not as good as it was for a myriad of reasons. The Chiefs defense cannot get off the field on third down, to your point. The Cowboys know and anticipate when a blitz is coming, so they have the exact answer. And they have the players to have those answers with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. And then this has got to be what's damning for them as a players this season. Because I think largely, if you say, hey, it's a close game in the fourth quarter, I want Steve Spagnuolo. This is where Steve Spagnuolo shines. It hasn't been an issue of like, hey, I don't understand what they're doing. No. It comes down to execution, ladies and gentlemen. And when you have the world's greatest quarterback who is in his prime, who is healthy, playing out of his mind in comeback situations, which he's, you know, become so custom and so good at, the thing that's got to haunt the Chiefs is this was the third game this season. So half of their losses, Carrington, are when Patrick Mahomes is in the midst of a comeback. He's on the sideline. He's ready to go. Just get me the ball back. And yesterday was the third time where Patrick Mahomes watched the other team run out the clock in a one-score game where all they had to do was just give the ball back to their quarterback.
But that's not what
they've been known for.
I'm with you, but I also think that the offense, they got to hold some of this too. And I hear what you're saying.
Right.
But the Chiefs, they do not accept the coin flip. They'll win the coin flip, they always defer. And the reason they say they defer is so they can get the double dip.
Uh-huh.
So if you got an available 14 points that you can get and you get zero in that stretch, that is a defining moment in the game.
Yes.
And two drives in which were ended by another penalty.
Yep.
I know you were at the game, so maybe you didn't see this, but when it came to that Xavier Worthy offensive pass interference, you got Tony Romo adamantly saying this isn't a penalty. Then you got Gene Steratore coming on there and telling you,
it is. Yeah,
Tony,
I rewatched the game.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Tony,
yeah.
You're wrong.
Yeah,
this is a penalty. This is why it's a penalty. You have to allow him to do it. It's those small things. And it's something you and I have been noticing from this very beginning. Hey, you guys aren't talented enough to overcome all of these things. Everybody's going to have some red flags. There's no team that's perfect.
Right.
But you can't overcome your team can't get off the field on 3rd and 7.
It's crazy.
Your team doesn't get to the other team's quarterback. Your team doesn't take the football away. Your team doesn't run the football effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we are going through the red flags that would scare you off of a team, the Chiefs just have too many of those this year.
Yeah, and now your offensive line is beat up. So add that to the list as you're desperate to try to make a run for the postseason to get what to be the 7th seed. I mean, I guess. I mean, that's cool, but like, nah, they don't have it, man. I love your point about the double dip because we've seen it on multiple times this season where they have gotten exactly what they wanted. The game has been close, so they're not like getting blown out, and they just don't convert. They just don't execute. Now, some of that does deal with coaching because, okay, you have the penalty, but you're still on the plus side of the field. Again, you have the game's best quarterback. Like, you have 4 downs at your disposal. You could go for it. You went for it on fourth and goal inside the red zone twice Sunday, but
that was a great catch by Travis Kelce. That's gonna be forgotten.
Yes, it was a great catch by Rashee Rice. I mean, Patrick puts it in a place where only his guys can go get it, and credit to them, they went and they got the ball.
But Rice had a drop that killed him later in the game too.
Correct. And again, that's again collective and individual lack of concentration. You ran your route. The coaching staff actually called a pretty good play based on what the Cowboys were trying to do. Your quarterback managed the pocket well, delivered the ball on time. It was accurate. It went right through your hands. That's why you lost. Or that's one of the reasons why you lost. So I completely agree, but we know the NFL comes down to close games by and large. And we know that Steve Spagnuolo has the scheme and the play calls to get you off the field. And because of a lack of a pass rush, because he has to blitz more than he may really want to do, because the opposing offense throughout the course of the season understands, the only way they can get to us is if they blitz, so we should be prepared for the blitz, then your quarterback is just sitting there watching like, hey, man, like, can I get a chance? And I know somebody's thinking right now, well, Nate, didn't he get a chance with 4 minutes left in Denver? Yep. And they went 3-and-out. So, again, 4 of their 6 losses is the defense either, A, can't get off the field, or the one time the defense at least held them to a field goal so that Mahomes can go win the game. The offense did not gain a single yard, Carrington. How can you trust them now with all the injuries really starting to pile up as we get further and further into the season?
What was the media meal and why you think about it? Because maybe you didn't get the media meal.
Oh, I did.
Do you want to know what they were serving on the field?
Barbecue chicken alert. Barbecue chicken alert.
That's what CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens both had. Both of them, they had the barbecue chicken. I'm sure they had a great spread there. But yes. I'm looking at it. I mean, I love Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie is a player that I would still play. I think he's an all-pro player.
Uh-huh.
We've seen the kind of receiver that gives him problems. He couldn't defend A.J. Brown on the Super Bowl. He couldn't defend CeeDee Lamb in yesterday's game. He couldn't defend him. And on the other side with Jalen Watson, who's in a contract year, who I think is going to get a big deal.
Yep.
I mean, they were just putting – it was one-on-one Jalen Watson, George Pickens, slant routes, and he could not stay in front of him in this game.
And I think that's the one of the few criticisms I would have from Steve Spagnuolo yesterday. Because, again, he had to blitz because he realized, we're just not getting to Dak Prescott. Cool. Well, if you know you're blitzing – and you know one of the easiest ways to beat the blitz is a quick slant because it gets the ball out of the quarterback's hands very quickly. How in the world is Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie not playing inside leverage with, hey, you got to throw it over my head. Like, I don't know how they didn't or why they didn't make that adjustment. I know Trent McDuffie's getting a lot of heat, understandably so, because that was the worst performance he's ever had in a Chiefs uniform, and that's even including last year's Super Bowl. When you don't have a pass rush, all it does is expose your secondary. And I don't care how good these dudes are, unless they're Deion Sanders in his prime. Those are two excellent receivers. And so the quarterback gave you a gift to start the game, and then Dak Prescott said, you know what? No more of that. I'm going to be accurate. I'm going to be on time. I know where all these blitzes is coming from. I'm going to use my legs. He went – really toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. That was one of the coolest things about yesterday's game. But we've known this about Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie really needs to be a guy that is versatile in the slot and being on the outside given certain matchups. He's still an all-pro talented player, but when you put him on an island because you cannot get pressure, well, you are kind of effectively setting him up to fail. And Jalen Watson he still hasn't given up a touchdown all season, I believe. But he struggled mightily in the fourth quarter, and he tried to do like a version of L'Jarius Sneed, and the referees were like, why would we let you do that? So they gave up 5 defensive pass interference penalties.
I was just gonna ask you how you feel about the officiating, because I'm sure
half of them are nuts. Half of them are, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, hey, the line judge is right there because he's at the line of the game, which is where CeeDee Lamb just ran his route. He thinks it's fine. Why is the back judge 20 yards away throwing the flag? That happened twice, one to Trent McDuffie, one to Jalen Watson. those are the two penalties where I'm like, well, don't you guys as a officiating crew need to communicate? Because the guy that was right next to the players didn't see that there was a flag, but the guy from a back judge standpoint, you know, further away, he's the one that pulls out the flag and throws it 20, 15 yards in the air. Half those penalties are non-negotiable. They're just like the ball's in the air. Both players have a right to the ball. Yes, the league favorites or the league leans more offensive. We all know this, but you got to let the guys be out there and play. So yeah, half of the penalties I do not like. I don't agree with the offensive pass interference penalty.
The one on Worthy
from Xavier Worthy, because Xavier Worthy's just running a straight line. Where's he supposed to go? But
this is the thing, though.
But yeah,
to go back to like in the game script of the game and where I'm not letting the Chiefs off the hook. On the final drive, they call the first pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's automatic first down. Chiefs still got a chance there.
Yep.
When they call the second pass interference, it doesn't matter anyway. CeeDee Lamb caught the ball, was a first down anyway.
Correct.
So yes,
correct.
So it was a pass interference, another penalty.
Yep.
They ended up picking it up. And then if you remember, it's now another first down. All right, you have to get off the field here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. The Chiefs had a chance.
It's Tamari.
They had a chance to make that a 2-12.
Yeah, tackling
the
backfield.
They had a chance to make it a 2-12.
Again, and this is my point. Steve Spagnuolo, I want you. There's no one else I really want because you expect him to run. I got my safety, a free shot at the running back.
He missed the tackle.
And he whiffed on the tackle.
Yep. Yeah, and right there, that's the ball.
So that's the game. Yep. And so again, concentration, execution, attention to detail, however you want to say it, like those, that's a great point. Those are examples, because now if, you know, based on the down and distance and the clock management and the amount of timeouts you have available to you, well, hey, because you missed that tackle, now every play is available in the Cowboys playbook. So now you can't put them in a difficult situation. It's just, it's very unfortunate. And then obviously they make the pass. Was it George Pickens? George Pickens to end the game. But that was 3rd and 2, okay? So anything's available to them because you don't have any more timeouts left. And because you missed that tackle, I mean, Chamari was not. What we learned yesterday is Chamari Connor needs Brian Cook, and he needs to be in his safety position. He cannot play slot. If Steve Spagnuolo wants to blitz Trist McDuffie because he trusts Trist McDuffie as a blitzer, I get it. But, like, you don't have Christian Roland Wallace. You don't have Brian Cook. Bad process. Bad selection. But whatever complaints you want to have about Watson and McDuffie, guys, it's one-on-one against maybe the two best duo of receivers in the league. When you don't have a pass rush, they have no shot. You're asking them to work semi-miracles, or you're asking the quarterback to be under so much duress that he throws a ball that's inaccurate. He didn't do that yesterday. He was accurate the moment he threw that interception. He sort of realized what the Chiefs' game plan was, and they adjusted well, and the Chiefs didn't have another pitch to throw at Dak Prescott.
How did the pass rush get this bad?
Injuries. And Chris Jones is 31. And Chris Jones saved the Chiefs season 5 days ago, and then you're asking a 31-year-old, hey, man, can you go do that again? But, like, we got to go on the road. It's a short week. You played a lot of football. If it ain't you, it ain't anybody else. And I know George Karloftis is playing with a thumb injury. I guess we'll learn how bad it is, but, man, that's Carrington. He was out there, but he wasn't out there. Omar Norman Lott, done for the season. Felix Anudike Uzama, at least he'd be rotationally at this point, done for the season. Mike Dana, he's the best of his career is way past him. Charles Omenihu, this is supposed to be the contract year. It has not come together. His best moment was hitting Dak Prescott in the head area for a, you know, roughing the passer penalty, even though the ball was already out, even though he could not get the sack. And Dak Prescott still converted the 2-point conversion play. Let's go down the list. I mean, Mike Pinnell's been fine. His return has actually helped Derek Nnadi, because Derek Nnadi doesn't have to play like all the, you know, first and second down snaps. Ashton Jelotti's cool, but they don't play him nearly enough.
He's about to have a lot of time to play here coming up in a couple of weeks when they're playing out the string.
Get that experience up, my
man. I remember we used to joke about these games being preseason games. They're really about to be preseason games here coming up in a couple of weeks after they lose to the Houston Texans next week.
It's wild that, you know, they've taken swings. You know, they made the trade last – let's not forget, they made the trade last year for Josh Uche and then did not play him. This really falls on George Karlaftis. Sorry, man. But, like, this is what you signed up for.
Yeah, the expectation you was signed for Karlaftis to take the next step.
Yep.
He didn't take the next step.
Hey, when Chris may still be able to take over games, but it's situationally. Okay. So, look, you know, he got the crowd involved. He got you some stops. He spooked the living daylights out of Daniel Jones. Okay. He did his job. But it's a short week. He's 31. You're in your prime. You're young. You're supposed to be the guy that's supposed to, you know, if Chris generates a pressure, you're supposed to be the guy that cleans it up and gets the sack, right? That's always been where George Karlaftis' success has come from, is, hey, if Chris Jones takes up a double team, I'm going to win my one-on-one. If Steve Spagnuolo calls a blitz and calls for me to have another one-on-one, I'm going to find a way to get to the quarterback. I'm going to use my tenacity. I'm going to use my relentlessness. I'm going to use my speed to power to get my hands on the quarterback. That just has not happened this year. And I'm not really sure why, because it's not like Chris Jones isn't getting pressure, but George Karlaftis is not getting the sacks that he got last year. I'll look it up. He was, what, nine sacks, 10 sacks last year? Obviously, he had a great postseason, largely because teams were focused on Chris Jones and he was winning one-on-ones on the edge. So if that's not happening, well, brother, That's why you guys can't get off the field. That's why you can't get the ball to Patrick Mahomes late in the fourth quarter. When you know they're passing, they know you're coming after them. It's mano a mano, and he is not playing to the level that the Chiefs expected of him. And that's really sad because he's only been a player that trended upwards until this season. And that's what makes the contract look terrible, right? So he's got 5 sacks on the year. He still leads the team in sacks. That being George Karlaftis. But, what, a year ago, he was just a much better player. And I don't know why his play has suffered in the manner it has this season.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Coming up on the other side, I want to look ahead for just a little bit. If the Chiefs miss the playoffs, everybody can't come back. This is not how this works.
Can't come back.
I mean, from a coaching perspective.
Ooh.
Who do you think is more likely to be let go? Is it Matt Nagy or Steve Spagnuolo? We'll talk about this next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Chris Jones from the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to The Drive with CDOT on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, Nate. I don't want to just be Debbie Downer, but we got to look at the reality of the situation. If the Chiefs miss the playoffs, everybody can't come back.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to 3 straight Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes in the prime of his career, miss the postseason, and think that everybody is keeping their job. That is not how this works. Now, they are not changing quarterbacks. They are not changing head coach. I don't think they're changing general managers. Mm-hmm. We know that these things, to quote The Wire, blank rolls downhill. A coordinator is being let go. You are not bringing back the entire coaching staff from one of the most disappointing teams in 2025.
Okay.
Who's more likely to get replaced, Matt Nagy or Steve Spagnuolo?
I don't like this, but I would have to say Matt Nagy. And the reason I'll say this is because it's a player personnel issue, I think, on defense. It is a coaching issue on offense. Because I know the offense is more talented than the defense. That's the way this team was structured this year. That's the way this team felt it had to sort of move on to get back on track. The offense was supposed to be explosive. The offense was supposed to be one of the best in the league. It's unfortunate that, yeah, Xavier Worthy got hurt on the third play of the season. You didn't have Rashee Rice for 6 games. Not your fault. But there's been a deeply understanded it's deeply known from everybody, man. Like, they do not make adjustments. They are running similar offenses that they've ran previously. There has been a lack of accountability when it comes to penalties, lack of focus. You found gold in Tyquan Thornton and then have actively chosen to not use him at various points of the season. It's tough because Matt Nagy was part of the solution in 2022 alongside Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Like, they had the four most, like, that 2022 season was incredible because those four people were ahead of everybody else in the league, and that's one of the reasons why Mahomes was the MVP that season. But there's this offense was supposed to be a lot better, and it's not. And I think the offense has more talent, which means the coaching has not been up to par. I would also include that as much as Andy Reid probably won't do this, is there a reason that Dave Tobe needs to come back? Is there a reason that, like, Connor Embry should come back? Is there a reason Todd Pinkston should come back? Is there a reason, like, it's not just, like, if Matt Nagy doesn't come back, it can't just be him. I think some of the position coaches have been under fire. I know Andy Heck's been with Andy Reid the entire time, same with Tom Melvin. I'm not sure I would necessarily get that deep into the retooling of the coaching staff, but I think their issues from a coaching staff have been more on offense than defense.
Do you think, and you know this team, you know this locker room as well as anybody, do you think we get the long-form ESPN, long-form athletic, what went wrong story? Because usually when things turn like this, there is normally something going on that we don't know.
Well,
I'm just saying, if you won 15 games and now you possibly win 9 games, there is usually some infighting, finger pointing. There is something going on that we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know this team.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're above it.
Well, they are largely above it, and yet there's still 5 weeks left in the season to do some reporting on such a topic. I think people will be very fascinated to know, like, what went wrong. And they're both simple and they're both complex in the answers. You know, that's why I have the job to figure that out, to find, you know, the answers, to find some truth. But yeah, I think you're right on the money. They're going to miss the playoffs, guys. Whenever they are eliminated, that is all that really matters for the rest of the season until they play the Vegas Raiders to conclude week 18. What happened? What went wrong? And why did it happen? That is those are the questions that have got to be asked. And
by everybody in the league is going to ask this
correct,
question.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying is
correct.
There's going to be such a thirst for the deep
what
dive in the Chiefs locker
happened?
Room. What went wrong?
Yeah.
Because I'm also guessing, just knowing how competitive it is, behind closed doors, Patrick Mahomes and Matt Nagy have had a very fiery disagreement about something. I just find it hard to believe that things can be going as poorly as they've been going and everybody's good. Because you and I both watched The Kingdom. The entire Kingdom was, hey, we all love each other. We're all on the same page. And it's easy to love everybody
when
and
you're
be
winning.
On the same page when you're 15-1 and you ran through it. Man, it's hard to keep that togetherness when you are the Chiefs are the most disappointing team in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm. It's either them or Baltimore, depending on, you know, the odds makers and roster constructions and expectations when the season began.
So I didn't see any scenario with a fully healthy Patrick Mahomes that could miss the playoffs. This isn't like
it's not supposed to happen.
I'm with you.
No.
This isn't like when Brady missed the year, Matt Castle started, and they missed the postseason.
Right. No.
This is a fully healthy,
right,
hasn't missed a game, Patrick
and
Mahomes.
And playing well.
And you also got you got Rashee Rice back. You got Xavier Worthy back. We spent all offseason saying what their offense was going to look like when they got their wide receiver back. Travis Kelce is far better
this year than he was last year. You've wasted another incredible season from Travis Kelce, too. Yes. Yes.
Like, if I had just told you all of the things, if I told you all of the things that have fallen in line from a positive end, there's no chance you tell me, hey, this team's going to be 6-6 in December. There's no chance you tell me that's going to be the case. We're up against it here. We'll come back on the other side. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the Cowboys. The Cowboys deserve a lot of credit. They had two playoff games. They beat Philadelphia at home. They beat Kansas City at home. They go on the road next week against the Detroit Lions. I'm curious where you kind of sit with them after watching them play on Thanksgiving. We got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. Nate, where are you at with the Cowboys? Because the Cowboys, I would say about 4 or 5 days ago, they were down 21-0.
Mm-hmm.
You are looking at your season being over if you are the Dallas Cowboys. Dramatic come from behind victory.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to Thanksgiving. You figure out a way to beat the Chiefs. You're now over 500, and it feels like they got a playoff game next Thursday against the Detroit Lions.
Yes, 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 yes.
Where are you at on this Cowboys team after watching them in person on Thanksgiving?
Well, they are a team that's almost averaging 30 points a game. So they're legitimate, whether you believe them or not, based on what their record is. We'll see what happens with Ramondre Brown, the Lions' talented receiver, because he is like half of their offense with Jared Goff and obviously Jahmyr Gibbs. But let's say they win. They are most definitely capable of beating the Vikings at home, beating the Chargers at home, and then basically they have two gimmies at the Commanders, at the Giants in the season. They can sneak their way into the postseason. And part of this is partly due to what happens with the Chicago Bears. I know they're winning today. They're likely going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but it is fascinating to know that, okay, what happens in the NFC South, because all these things coincide with one another. The Cowboys win next week. The way Dak Prescott played yesterday and the fact that their defense isn't absolutely Swiss cheese. You know, they made the trade for Quinton Williams. That has worked out. Kenny Clark has been very good as well. Their secondary is still very gettable, so I would be concerned. But, hey, if you don't have, you know, St. Brown, if Justin Jefferson can't get the ball, because we all are starting to see that J.J. McCarthy is much farther behind than we anticipated, then, yeah, the Cowboys – can run the table. I think that was a conversation before yesterday's game is, okay, whoever wins this game, are they capable of running the table? Well, the Chiefs are the more injured team. They're the team that lost yesterday. The Cowboys did not have a major injury. They won yesterday, and now they got a favorable schedule down the stretch.
You've been to games in all kind of different environments with this team. They've played in a lot of different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
What was a Thanksgiving Day game like?
It was awesome. I mean, the experience there was incredible because it was my first time in AT&T Stadium.
That stadium is incredible.
Incredible.
It's hard to explain it. Like, I mean, like, television does it justice. I don't want to make it seem like it doesn't. But just when you go there and you see it and you just see, like, the structure of it. So, like,
it's,
I don't know.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful sight lines.
I don't know where you walked in at.
Yeah.
But you just walk in and it's just, like, the stadium. Then you see how massive the entire – mm-hmm. It is impressive to see. I went there for the Cotton Bowl a couple of years ago. Women's League played Ohio State.
Yeah, I entered yesterday and I walked around the concourse and I talked to a couple fans. And
that place is like a maze, though. It's kind of confusing to walk around. It's confusing.
It was awesome just to see, like, you know, this is – and I wrote about this on ESPN.com, how much of a historical rivalry it is between the Chiefs and the Cowboys, given both franchises started in Dallas. But it was really cool yesterday to see, like, a true, like, almost neutral site atmosphere – with how many Chiefs fans were there.
The home of the Chiefs was loud.
It was very loud. And it was on national TV, and that was cool. Like, you know, they always say, like, the Cowboys cheerleaders are, like, different from everybody else. But, again, I never experienced it before yesterday. Okay, I get it now. Like, they're all extremely talented. They get so much of, like, the in-game entertainment. They are a part of the brand. I think the way everything was just put together from, like, an entertainment standpoint, the Chiefs could take – whatever they want to do with their stadium situation. I mean, you could take some things from SoFi. You could take some things from
the Chiefs stadium experience is outside, not inside. That's what I think is, like, once you go to other stadiums, you realize, like, don't get me wrong, inside Arrowhead is special.
Oh, of course.
But everything about the Arrowhead experience is the 4 to 5 hours and the hanging out and the camaraderie you have before
for the game. Yeah.
That's what the stadium experience is.
Which is the exact opposite.
Kind of like how Lambeau is.
Yeah, which is the exact opposite of AT&T.
The exact opposite.
So every, you know, in-game entertainment, obviously the music, like, it's good from an acoustic standpoint. Where even in the press box, we could still hear much of the crowd. So, yeah, a very awesome, like, place to watch a football game if you get the chance. And you could tell yesterday pretty early on, oh, this is one of those days where Mahomes knows, okay, national TV, kind of a must win, my first time playing in the city closest to my hometown. Okay, I'm going to give you a good one today. And that was what made it very cool, was because Dak made that one interception, and then he said, oh, no, I'm not going to get embarrassed at home on Thanksgiving. No, 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 no. And so they really did go toe-to-toe. But it was cool to see the crowd be at full capacity, everybody be in tune to the game, everybody understand the importance of the game, and half the stands are blue and half the stands are red.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN, going through some of the top storylines. I feel like the public has kind of settled in on Dak. There's about 3 years where I thought he was like a very polarizing player, and just like a national conversation standpoint, I think everybody's kind of settled in on who Dak is. When you give Dak a viable running game and some weapons, Dak is very, very good.
Very good.
But when you had a couple of seasons where you basically just gave him CeeDee Lamb and was like, go figure it out, Dak struggled. When the Cowboys have always been viable with a healthy Dak Prescott.
Correct.
If you give him that, I feel like now everybody just kind of accepted that's who he is.
And he has the talent and the capability of being an MVP caliber player. And because both of these guys are playing so well off of one another, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, and I think his offensive line has done better than maybe most people expected this year, it definitely gives him a chance. The only thing that's left on Dak Prescott's resume is, can you get the Cowboys to the NFC Championship game? They have not been there since they won the Super Bowl in 1995. It is absurd that that is a actual fact. But much of his legacy is kind of aligned with Tony Romo, where it's like very good, very capable quarterbacks. I just need to see it in January. I just need to see it come together and coalesce. Now, it's not Dak Prescott's fault that the last time they were in the playoffs, the Packers scored a gajillion points in their stadium to end their season. So if they get in this year, they'll be on the road. Most likely they'll be, you know, a team that can play the whole, like, nobody believes in us, or not like that, but just like, hey, we're dealing with house money. Let's take our shot at it. But yeah, he's playing really well since the bye week. I think that's another thing that's got to aggravate Chiefs fans. Normally, Andy Reid's teams get better throughout the course of the season. It's weird that, like, Brian Schottenheimer's team has gotten better after the bye week than the Chiefs team, and that is largely one of the reasons why the Chiefs fell to the Cowboys yesterday.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us in studio. Always happy to catch up with you, Nate, man. We'll do this next week before Chiefs and Texans, which at this point, I'm tired of calling these playoff games. I mean, just I'm tired. I can't do it.
It's the annual week 14 play-in game.
And it's crazy because they're going to be favored again in this matchup.
Which I don't
They're going to be like, they're going to be like 2-point favorites.
I don't understand. Especially if CJ comes back and plays well on Sunday, like, why are they favored? I don't know.
Public just ain't ready to give up on the Chiefs. I feel like they've been pushed to the brink. That's our guy, Nate Taylor. Nate, appreciate you. We'll be back. Until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.